Success is simple. Just do what is right, in the right way, and at the right time. Welcome, everyone. I'm McDaniel Phillips, and this is Times of Refreshing, a ministry of Bethesda Hall in partnership with TWR Asia. Our host is author, teacher, and itinerant speaker, Kenneth Wong. Well, all of us want to be successful in our Christian walk, but is it as simple as doing the right thing in the right way and at the right time? Well, yes, it is that simple, provided we are walking in complete obedience to Christ with thanksgiving and prayer. Today, Kenneth begins a new series titled Complete in Christ, and the first program focuses on acknowledging God as sovereign.
Hello, everyone. Here we are at the start of another week, and I'm really glad to have you join us. We are going to do something exciting by starting a new series which is based on a book of the Bible. Now, this is something we have not yet done before, but which is something that is really good and profitable to do, and something that we should do from time to time. Now, there are 66 books in all in the whole Bible, with 39 of them in the Old Testament and 27 in the New Testament. So obviously, we cannot do all of them, but we can begin to do some of the significant ones and the shorter ones. And I'm going to begin with an important New Testament epistle or letter written by Paul to the Colossians. So we are going to make a systematic study of this book of Colossians through this series this week. Now, this letter by Paul to the Colossian church is really an excellent exposition of the Christian's completeness in Christ. So that's going to be the theme of the series, Complete in Christ. There is a subtle danger of subscribing to a diluted form of Christianity today, where one is constantly looking for something new or something more to plug a glaring gap between what is espoused and what is experienced. That is what happens very frequently in people's lives, that what they believe in theory, in doctrine, does not match up to what they experience in practice. Now, in this series of studies, we are going to cover some interfaces of Christian living, and these are to do with God, with ourselves, and with others. They have to do with the areas of prayer, of faith, of holiness, and of relationships. The challenge of this Colossian letter is a radical recognition of this thing, Christ in you. This is a phrase that occurs in Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. And this is really the core of Christian living, Christ in you. Let me just say a few things about the value of a systematic expository book study, which is what we are going to do here, as opposed to taking a subject or a theme and collecting scriptures from different parts of the Bible to see what it has to say on that subject, which is what we have been doing so far. Now, this is a very useful approach to Bible study. I often like to compare this experience to driving through the countryside and exploring it and experiencing it rather than flying over a country where we only see clouds mainly. So if you are going to take the trouble and the time to systematically work ourselves through a book, you will find that you will be richly rewarded by discoveries that would remain otherwise hidden without tracking through chapter and verse. And the object of these studies is not merely to be challenged, but to be changed by the Word of God. A few words of introduction on the letter of Paul to the Colossians. Now, the Colossian epistle is the third of a trilogy of Paul's prison epistles. This is a term sometimes used to describe his three epistles of Ephesians, Colossians, and Philippians, which he wrote to these churches from his first Roman imprisonment, which took place in Rome. And because of that, you find that there is a striking similarity between the Ephesian and the Colossian epistles especially, with a high degree of overlap and many parallel verses. It has been estimated that something like 35% of the Ephesian epistle is in common with the Colossian epistle. And For Colossians, the percentage is even higher, all the way up to something like 82% of Colossians you will find in common with Ephesians. That's only to be expected if you read someone's letters or hear him speak. Around the same time, most of the thoughts that come through will be what he's occupied with at that time. And if you read and study these two books consecutively or together, you will find a lot of the things repeated and therefore reinforced. It would be helpful to know a little bit also about the background of the church in Colossae. This was a relatively young church in a mid-sized city called Colossae in the province of Phrygia in the Roman Empire, which is in Turkey today. Colossae was not as great a city during Paul's day as it had been in the past. The letters of Paul to the Romans and to the Colossians are the only two letters that he wrote to churches which he had probably not yet visited at the time of his writing. So this makes Colossians special in a way compared with many of his other letters. Well, our series title is Complete in Christ. It's taken from Colossians chapter 2, verse 10. And for this first part, we are going to entitle it Christ, Your Head. And this is taken from Colossians chapter 1, verse 18, where it says, And He is the head of the body, the church. So we're going to work towards that, Christ, Your Head. And this is mainly focused on altitude. And by that I mean looking upward and seeing things strategically from the vantage view of prayer when we look to Jesus Christ as our head. So let's jump right in now. Paul begins his letter as he always does with greetings. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God and Timothy our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are in Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the first big thing I want us to consider is about praise. You'll find that he begins with the keynote of thanks in verse 3, where we read, We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints. So he begins with a keynote of thanks, and he talks about prayer in the following verses. And then he ends again with thanks in verse 12, where it says, Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Therefore, we find this very interesting construction, that praying is sandwiched in between thanksgivings in verse 3 and in verse 12. Now, also notice that in the version that I have read in verse 3, it says, praying always for you. I find it interesting to read that in the New International Version, it says, always thank. Now, if you put these two together, pray always or always thank, the implication is that we should always pray and always thank. And this is the secret of continuing instant or steadfast in prayer, as it is said in Romans chapter 12, verse 12. This is the way we are able to keep praying unceasingly. We couple it with thanksgiving. Always pray and always thank. Now, thanksgiving is a pivotal part of prayer. It's not a peripheral part. It isn't something that exists only on the sidelines for decorative purposes. It's central to prayer. So that's something we need to recognize as essential to prayer. Thanksgiving is the ultimate declaration that God is sovereign, that He's over and above all, that He's in absolute control. That's the reason why. And often, you'll find that it is the trigger of thanksgiving that leads on to answered prayer. Let me share with you a personal testimony or story of one of the first spiritual lessons that I learned as a very young Christian many years ago. I was a student studying at a university in the United Kingdom at that time. And one summer, I spent backpacking and traveling in Europe, followed by a stint of work under a technical exchange program. And at the end of that summer, I made my way back from Norway, where I was working, across the North Sea, back to Newcastle upon Tyne, where I studied. And we took the North Sea ferry from Oslo to Newcastle. And I had, thankfully, as my travel companion, Norwegian student who was a classmate of mine, and he was resident in Oslo, but he was a seasoned sailor. I was not. As soon as I got on board that ferry and it started, I began to feel really seasick. I had bad nausea, the feeling of wanting to throw up, and it's like coming anytime. So I squatted down and tried to calm myself down, and I didn't quite know what to do. And my friend just reassured me with a smile and said, "It's going to be all right." And he went on to discourse about the design of that ship, because we were students in naval architecture, about how the ship is designed. I was really in no mood to talk about or listen to what he had to say. I remember he mentioned something about the fact that this ship was not designed for operation in the North Sea, it was meant for the Mediterranean Sea, and that is why it is rolling quite badly. Now, that is small comfort to me in my misery at that moment. But I remember that I had just been reading a book called The Power of Praise by a man called Carothers, which was very popular at that time. And something that I had just read was recalled to me, no doubt by the Holy Spirit, just at that moment when I needed it most. And I clutched at it like a drowning man would clutch at a straw, as the proverb says. And it was this thought, this line that I remember reading, that I can thank God not only in a situation, but for the situation, and not just in spite of a bad or an adverse situation. Now, that is something quite radical and against the grain of our common sense thinking. But at that moment, I thought I had nothing to lose. Let's put this to practice. And I did just that. So as I was squatting down there in my absolute misery and ready to throw up any time, I lifted up this hasty, silent prayer in my heart to the Lord. "Thank you, Lord, that I'm here right now feeling absolutely miserable and ready to throw up. I don't know what it means, but I can thank you in this situation. And more than that, I can thank you for all that I'm going through right now." And as I was thinking and praying through like this, it wasn't very long before I found myself suddenly feeling much better, much more normal. And presently I could stand up. And my friend told me, "See, there I told you." But he didn't know the great inward struggle I went through and what had just transpired as I took hold of what the Lord had put in my heart. And that was praise 101 lesson for me, that when you thank and praise God in every situation, even for what you are going through, though it may not be palatable or understandable for you at that time, it is going to trigger off and set in motion forces for change beyond what you can imagine. Well, the happy sequel to that story was that presently, I and my friend, we were able to walk down the aisles of the ship, and he went on happily showing me around because he was familiar with that ferry. And not long after that, he said, "Look at this buffet spread. It's really good. Let's go and try it for lunch." Now, although I felt very much better, I was certainly not ready to have a big, heavy meal. But he strongly persuaded and recommended it to me as something that I mustn't miss. So it's a wonderful miracle that so shortly after, I found myself walking around quite normally. And not only that, I had a great, big, magnificent meal on board. That's the power of praise. Not in spite of a bad situation, but for it and in it. So take time to thank, as Paul did. We read of this in verse 4, "Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints." And verse 5, "because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven." What did Paul thank God for that he found in the Colossian believers? He thanked God for their faith in Christ. That is always something that represents our commencing. He thanked God for their love for the saints. That is in continuing in their walk in Christ. And he thanked God for their hope in heaven, which relates to completing. And all this happened as a result of their hearing the gospel and growing in it, as we read on in verses 5 and 6, "of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you, as it has also in all the world, and is bringing forth fruit, as it is also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth." Now, this is not an isolated occurrence of thanksgiving. We find this thread of thanksgiving consistently woven through every chapter of this book of Colossians. This means it should become a part of our disposition rather than just belonging to our devotions. For example, in chapter 2, verse 7, we have this phrase, abounding in thanksgiving. In chapter 3, verse 15, be thankful. And again in chapter 3, verse 17, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father through Him. So do and give thanks. And finally, in chapter 4, we have in verse 2, being earnest in prayer and vigilant in thanksgiving. So you see this thread of thanksgiving popping up again and again throughout this letter. So that was about praise. Next, we look at prayer, which is what praise is a part of. First, there is a positive exhortation to pray, as we have read in verse 3, praying always. And then it is again repeated, but in a negative sense, in verse 9, for this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. So it's to pray always and to pray unceasingly. Now, how do we do this? Well, we do this by remembering those whom we love and care about, and we mention them before God in prayer. And that is all it takes. It's prayer at the speed of thought. It doesn't necessarily imply that we have to spend long extended periods as if you're trying to break the Guinness Book of Records, but it's a question of being out of sight but not out of mind, in just the same way that those whom we love are constantly upon our minds and our hearts, and we bear them up before God. While it may be useful to know as much as possible about someone you pray for, please remember that it need not be always informed by facts, but the far more important thing is that we should be conformed to His will when we pray for someone to be effective. Such praying is centered not so much on a list of external activities as on eternal realities relating to the people we pray for. Now, in the following verses, we read a series of very useful things to sustain our praying for others, and there are six things we can pray for. And these are given to us from verses 9 through to 11. Let me read them to you. For this reason also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power for all patience and long-suffering with joy. Let me just briefly summarize these six prayer pointers for you with a series of six P's. The first is to pray for them to be purposeful. In verse 9, to be filled with knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Second is to pray that they might be pleasing to the Lord. That's in verse 10, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him. Number 3 is to pray that they would be productive. Again in verse 10, being fruitful in every good work. Fourthly, to pray that they might be progressive. Again in verse 10, increasing in the knowledge of God. Number 5 is to pray that they might be powerful. Verse 11, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power. And finally, number 6, to pray that they might be persevering. The last part of the same verse 11, for all patience and long-suffering with joy. And we have a very good example of this given by a co-worker of Paul in the person of Epaphras, whom we come across in verse 7. As you also learn from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, who also declared to us your love in the Spirit. Now this faithful co-worker Epaphras, who was first introduced in chapter 1, verse 7, in our passage where we are reading, is mentioned again in the last chapter 4, in verse 12, and this gives us a glimpse into the way he prayed for the believers at Colossae after the pattern that we have mentioned just now. In Colossians 4:12, we read that Epaphras was always laboring fervently for you in prayer, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. As Oswald Chambers put it so pointedly, prayer is not preparation for the work. Prayer is the work. And so we end in verse 12 with thanksgiving for full salvation and not just for various blessings. Beginning with the end in view, it says, first of all, something about the prospect, which is the inheritance of the saints in verse 12. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. And then moving on to the present, it's about deliverance from darkness and entrance into the kingdom in verse 13. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. And then finally, working backwards into the past, it's thanksgiving for redemption and for the remission of forgiveness of sins. Verse 14, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Well, if we think and search hard enough, there are certainly many things that we can thank God for. What a glorious note to begin with on the keynote of praise and prayer, but let us continue in it. And I trust you have been really refreshed by the Lord's presence as we spend time on His Word together and that you may be reached through it.
Do you really want to be successful in your Christian walk? Then take time for thanksgiving and prayer every day. As Oswald Chambers reminds us, prayer is not the preparation for work. Prayer is the work. Thank you for that good word, Kenneth. This is Times of Refreshing, a ministry of Bethesda Hall in partnership with TWR Asia. And I invite you to join us again tomorrow when Kenneth Wong brings us part two in his series titled Complete in Christ. In the meantime, I'd like to thank you for your letters and your text messages. Your comments have been very encouraging to all of us. So if you have a comment or question you'd like to share about this program, simply send a text message to 9431-3813 or write to us at Post Office Box 392, Thompson Road Post Office, Singapore, 915714. And I'm happy to report that if you miss any of our daily broadcasts, you can go right to our website, www.timesofrefreshing.asia, to listen online or to download any program that you want to your smartphone or to your MP3 player. And you can also subscribe to the Times of Refreshing podcast for automatic download through iTunes. I'm McDaniel Phillips, inviting you to join us again for Times of Refreshing.